Okay. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints. This is the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This is Louisa and the Bread, the Food of the Divine Will. We are on page 12, volume 26, 915, 1929. My daughter, wherever there is the creative force of my most holy divine will, my divine breath has the power to render the acts of the soul of the creature immense. So here Jesus is showing us that what he wants to bring to the world is living in his will, not doing his will. The saints did the will of God. Like Adam, fallen Adam, Jesus says Adam never sinned. Adam wept for the rest of his life, but never committed another sin. And because he was doing the will of God, but he couldn't return to living in the will of God. This, like Jesus is saying, this divine immense power. He didn't have that any longer. And but God is now, after 4,000 years, Jesus comes to earth, Our Lady comes to earth, the new Adam and the new Eve. 2,000 years later, they give this gift to Louisa. And now this gift is given to us if we wish, if we want it. And so he's trying to convince us what this is about. This is not a devotional life. This is not a saintly life, a good life, a holy life. It's a divine life. So wherever, Jesus says, there is the creative force of my most holy divine will. Every time you call, come divine will. Breathe in my breathing. Beat in my heart beating. Walk in my walking. Come divine will. Washing dishes. Wash in my washing. Combing your hair. Comb in my combing. Whatever, whenever there is that creative force of the divine will happens, when we call upon that divine will in our acts, he says, my divine breath, that ruah of God, that breath of God, to be in God's image and likeness happens. The power, the divine power that will render every act that the creature does into an immense act, a divine act. So, because God is doing it, the human isn't. When we say, come divine will, breathe in my breathing, I don't want to breathe humanly anymore. Breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating. Walk in my walking, dance in my dancing, sing in my singing, whatever you're doing. The more that you call upon the divine will, Jesus says, in every act that you do, with your prevenient act in the morning and your actual acts throughout the day, what happens is it's an immense power, immense divine power that occurs. It's not human. It's divine. And that's what God wants to get across to us. It's not something that the saints can teach you. Fallen Adam could only do the will of God just like the saints. The saints could only do the will of God because they were not given the instructions of how and why God wants this, and that's the Book of Heaven. So the more that we read the Book of Heaven, the more we begin to understand how and why God wants this, how it's going to be done, and why it has to be done. We have to go back to where we were before the fall, in that divine immensity, that image and likeness of God to do what God does. So, this is not new. It's the oldest thing that was given to man. It was the first thing that was given to mankind, to be in God's image and likeness. So Jesus has tried to reinforce this truth in us to help us recognize that this abundant life that our God wants us to live, this abundant life is at our disposal, as much as we want or as little as we want. So again, it's not doing the will of God. It's living in the will of God. That's what God is calling us to. And for most people, this is very, very difficult to understand because they say, well, if this was true, why didn't St. Thomas Aquinas teach this? Why didn't St. Francis teach this? Why didn't St. Ignatius teach this? teach us this. Why isn't this in our dogma and doctrine? And Jesus teaches us, basically what St. Annibal de Francia said, this is the doctrine that our God wants us to enter into. St. John Paul II, on May 16th, 2004, at the canonization of St. Annibal de Francia, stated, we are now going to enter a new and divine way of holiness. This is not, it hasn't been seen before with the saints. It's been seen before because of Jesus and Mary, the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the true life of Adam before the fall, but nobody else. So this life that is breathed into Louisa, she's the firstborn, she's the newborn of this great gift of the divine will, God wants to give to us. And so he asks us, he pleads with us, do you want this? And when we say yes, then he says, prove it. Prove it. How do we prove to Jesus that we want this? It's by continuing to read and study and put this into practice so that we can get this understanding. We can begin to understand this divine perspective. So Jesus says, in fact, as the creature operates in my fiat, the creative, this is divine force, enters her act, her eye blink, her step, her glance, her listening to a bird chirp. What is Jesus saying? As the creature operates, come divine will, listen in my listening. Come divine will, step in my stepping. Come divine will, blink in my blinking. That creative divine force of God enters that human act. It's not, the saints couldn't have taught this because they didn't have Louisa. They taught how to do the will of God, but not how to live in the will of God. This is why Jesus says to us, if we are linked to Louisa, how great that is if we're linked to Louisa. It's a new beginning, he says very clearly. Placing in that act the font, the divine font of the divine immensity. Placing in that eye blink, the divine immensity. It's God blinking in our blinking. We're in the likeness of God. God is doing that in us. We are fused with God. And in that fusing with the divine will, God does that in us. This is why he created us. He created us so that we could participate in divinity. Not to become divine, but to participate in the divine act. So that little act of the creature, of the human, converts one into a fount of divine light, another into a fount of divine love, others into founts of divine goodness, of divine beauty, of divine sanctity. So you see, it's not anything that is human. And so our Lord is looking at us, and our Lord is asking us to embrace this. And it's, you know, if people can say, well, Jesus isn't really saying that. Well, if you read it, that's all he's saying. He's saying, I want you to begin to enter into that true life of God, the immortality, to the immutability, this abundant life that God possesses. He's asking us to enter into this. That's not human. The fallen human nature, because of the fallen human nature, this body has to die. So, you know, when people say, is there life after death? It doesn't make sense. Life is life. And life can't die. The body can die, but the soul, we are body and soul. And so the Lord is asking us to enter into this abundant life. He's asking us to begin to live a life that he lives, Jesus, God and man. And now he wants to share with man his divinity. It doesn't mean that we become gods, but it will be like we were doing it, because God is going to do it, but he's going to let us experience it as if we were actually doing that. So breathing. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. Divine will, come, breathe in my breathing. Beat in my heart beating. What happens at that point is God is in charge. And yes, this body has to die because it's in the fallen state. But the glorified body that's coming will never die. That's why God created Adam, to be in God's image and likeness, a body that would never die. It would end at one point, but death has nothing to do with God. And so what Jesus is asking us, he's asking us to enter into this divine reality. Each act that you do when you call upon the divine will converts into, as he says, a font of divine light. Again, that's Jesus on Mount Carmel. That's Our Lady clothed with the sun at Guadalupe. This divine light is what our God wants us to enter into. Not a halo, not a nimbus that the saints possess, but a divine light. He's asking us to let go of our understanding, our human understanding, our fallen human understanding, to enter into a divine understanding. So the three powers that he's given us are intellect, memory, and will. We have to surrender our intellect to God. You, Jesus, think in my thinking. I don't want to think humanly anymore. The fallen human nature, I don't want that. I want the divine human nature that you, Jesus, possess. I want to think like you do, Lord. And that's to share in divinity. Our memory, not of us, not of what they said about us, what they're doing against us or our family or our friends. It's to enter into the memory of Jesus. What did Jesus do? What did Jesus say? How does Jesus teach us these divine truths, these divine realities, these knowledges that he says that he wants us to become alive in us? And then finally, our human will. No longer do I want to live in my human misery, worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin, but in God's most holy divine will, peace, joy, and happiness. So it's up to us to choose, and the only one that will prevent us is ourself. If we choose this gift and listen to what Jesus is saying, he says it very clearly. He says, every act that you do will convert into a font of divine light, divine love, divine goodness, divine beauty, divine sanctity. This is not anything to do with the human sanctity of the saints. The human goodness of the saints. That's doing the will of God. He wants us to enter into living in the will of God. So he's asking us to let go of our understanding and to embrace a new way of thinking, a new and divine way of holiness, as John Paul II said. What does that mean? It means that from this point on, our Lord has got great plans. Our Lord has magnificent plans for us. And it's never been seen before. It's been seen when Jesus was on earth and Mary was on earth. It's never before been seen the way Adam lived, where he walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening. It's never really been seen because Louisa, when she was on earth, she lived a hidden, little, and insignificant life that nobody really saw. But those that did come close to Louisa said she was more of heaven than of earth. Yes, that was Padre Pio, that was St. Honorable de Francia. She was more of heaven than of earth. So again, our God is asking us to let go of our understanding and to begin to embrace a divine understanding. That's the only thing that's going to get us through what we're going through right now. The church is going through all the heresies, every heresy that the church has ever gone through in the last 2,000 years. We're going through all of them at once. And this is basically because there's been no teaching. And the internet gives us a confusion of thought. Everyone proclaims to know the truth and begins to stand their ground and saying, this is the truth. And where in reality, there's no basis to it at all. So we're going through all the heresies that the church has already gone through, but nobody knows how to deal with it because there's been no teaching. So what does Jesus do? He gives us the book of heaven. He circumvents all the confusion and says, here, I will speak to you. I will teach you. I will guide you. And that's what he says. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will remind you of everything that I have said. He will reveal to you all truths and remind you of everything that I have said. That is the book of heaven. As we read the book of heaven, as we study the book of heaven, we begin to understand from Christ's perspective how to deal with all the heresies at this point. And it's very simple. All the heresies are of demonic origin. And the one who puts to flight the demons is not only Our Lady, who crushes the head, but Jesus says, you, Louisa, will also put the final kaput on the head of Lucifer. It has to be a human. As Adam and Eve were attacked, seduced by the evil one, now Louisa has conquered it. This is why the demons are afraid of Louisa. They're terrified of Louisa. It's going to be a human. Not only the mother of God, Theotokos, crushing the head of Lucifer, Louisa is going to put the final kaput, a human. And how humiliated the evil one is going to be. He's going to go to the pit of hell in total shame. Because a human, the one that he thought he seduced from God, a human is going to crush his head. Final crush. Like her mother, like the Blessed Mother, like mother, like daughter, like daughter, like mother. So again, Jesus is asking us, he's pleading with us to begin to operate in the divine fiat, to operate in the divine will. We got to be conscious of this. It can't be just when you think about it. We've got to discipline ourselves to constantly say fiat, to constantly go back to God. This is why Jesus says you have to be attentive. One slip and the devil is there. And what comes in? Worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. So we got to be attentive. Reading every day, especially the calendar. If you're reading the calendar every day, God is teaching you every single day how to do this. And it's not just a run through once and you think, well, I got it now. No, this goes on for all eternity. Every time we read, it's a deeper understanding until finally putting all, it's like, pixels in a picture. Finally, every time we read, it puts it together more clearly, more. And again, it's not by chance it's 2020. This year, it's more clear. It's more precise. It's more understandable, putting each word that Jesus says together. God is doing this, and he's asking us to allow him to do it. So he says very, very clearly, in sum, the more the acts that the soul does, the more divine fonts the soul acquires, and they grow so much as to spread within the divine immensity of God, of her creator. This is what God is looking for. So he's saying, this is what happens, and he goes, the more you do this, your prevenient act in the morning, your actual acts throughout the day, the more that you enter into this gift, the more you participate in God. The more you're fused with God, the more God is fused with you. This is why he created us, so that we could be like him. And it's a divine immensity that he's asking us to enter into, going back to God. And our Lord is very pleased with the souls that are reading. Why? Because what it's doing, returning to the divine immensity, what it's doing is the whole world is being recreated. Every time you read, every time you study, every time you put this into practice, every time you give your fiat, creation is being transmuted. How? In God's image and likeness, we are doing this as God, as we allow God to reign in us. God is doing this. That's what St. Louis de Montfort says. It's nothing that we're going to do. It's what God is going to do for us. So the Lord is teaching us how to live from a divine perspective, how to live this new and divine way of holiness. But we have to teach ourselves. We have to let God show us what this is. We have to put this into practice. So what you read, what you study every day is constantly changing to a greater awareness of this life of God, this love of God, this light of God. That's what God is waiting for, us to enter into this abundant life. Again, the only one that will get in your way is yourself by saying, oh, I've got other things I want to do, or this is more important, or I really need to do that instead of this. And God says, fine. God is not going to force us. He's telling us very clearly what this every act that you do in the divine will accomplishes, entering into the divine immensity. But he's not going to force us. He's going to say, well, if you think that watching sports is more important than this, so be it. Then that's what I'll give you. I'll give you a memory of a team. And it's whatever you're doing, it's God has to give you what you want. And I think it's going to be very, very sad for many people who have said to God, thank you, thank you, thank you, but I want to do this. God says, fine, do it. He said that to the devil. The devil said, I will not serve, I will not obey. God said, fine. What do you want to do? The devil says, I want hell. That's not serving. That's not obeying you. God says, fine. Then that's what you could, that's what you receive. God is just. And this is the gift of gifts. You have to get this. You have to begin to understand. This is the gift of gifts. This is the prodigy of prodigies. Luisa Picaretta and the Divine Will. And he's telling us this paragraph here. If we really live this, we would never, ever want to leave the divine will for a moment. We'd never miss an opportunity to do something in the divine will. Whether we're praying, whether we're roller skating, we want it always to be in the divine will, always to be in the divine will. And that's what he's waiting for. He says, I'm waiting for the souls who must live in the divine will. And if it's not us, who is it? It's not your friends, it's not your neighbors, it's not your coworkers, it's not your parishioners, it's not your family. They don't want it. They're nice people, but they don't want it. Jesus is saying, do you want it? And then he says, if you want this, prove it. How do you prove it? By putting it into practice, learning this, living this. That's what God's waiting for. There's nothing that the saints have taught that can compare to this. Nothing. There is nothing that the saints have taught that can compare to this. Why? Because they're teaching from their perspective what God showed them of doing the will of God. What Jesus is showing to Louisa is from a divine perspective how to live in the will of God. There's no comparison. There's no comparison to what God is calling us to do, and to what God has called the saints to do for the last 2,000 years. So he's waiting for us. He says, I'm waiting for the souls who must live in the divine will. So he says, it happened as to the yeast that has the virtue of fermenting the flour, as long as in forming the bread, one puts in the little yeast as the germ of fermentation. Now, what's just great about this is that yeast, that slime, that foam that you put into the bread is us. Slime. It's nothing. We're nothing. We're not the bread. We're the yeast. Okay. Jesus wants to prove that it's not us that's going to do this. He is going to do this. He wants this leavened. He wants this abundant. He wants this be given to your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners. He wants everyone to enter into it. But those who have this gift at this point, we're the slime balls, if you want to say. It has nothing to do with the bread. We're different. We're different than the flour. We're the yeast. So what is God asking of us? He's asking us to die to our ego and our will so that he can use us as the yeast, to become the yeast, to ferment all that's there, to leaven, give leaven to everything. This is why you're not accepted by your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners. And when we try to be accepted by them, we deny what God is asking us. He's asking us to be different. He's asking us to be that fermentation. So the more that we try to be liked by everybody, even in the church, the more God can't use us. He says, you're not the bread. I need you to be in, to be given to the bread so that God can have his way with it. So that everyone can participate in this abundant bread, this first bread, the bread of the divine will. So we are rejected, we are misunderstood, we are abandoned, we're spit upon, we're laughed at, we're ridiculed. Good. You're slime. We're slime. We're not the bread. We're not like the others. It's not that we're important. It's God has a different mission for us. It's to read this, it's to study this, it's to put this into practice so that they can have it. I want the divine will in the midst of people. If you're really reading, if you're really studying, your family has become more peaceful, more joyful, more happy. Why? God is doing it. You're not compromising with your family. You're not saying, I want to be like you. You're saying, I want to be firm in what God has called me to be. You know, and that means that we're not part of all that's going on in the world today. We're the least. Like Louisa lived the insignificant, hidden life. That's what God wants for us. He doesn't need much yeast. You don't use a lot of yeast when you're cooking. You know, it's the same thing with well, what was it? 150 gallons of wine. You don't need a lot of yeast for that. God is going to take care of it. And so how does he do it? By us living this, by saying, I give up everything that the world is doing, that my family is doing, my friends, my neighbors, my coworkers are doing. I give that up. Why? To focus on becoming the yeast, to get so involved with the book of heaven that it ferments us. So involved that God can use us with your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners. He says, I want the divine will in the midst of creatures. So what God is doing we have to go through what he went through, being rejected, misunderstood, abandoned, spit upon, laughed at, ridiculed, mocked. And if that bothers you, then God can't use you. They have no right to say that about me. God goes, fine, you're on your own. You want to be like them? He says, I've given you the gift of gifts. I've given you the prodigy of prodigies. So again, the consequences of this gift is to be the little yeast that at the germ of fermentation. That's what God is waiting for. He's waiting for us to begin to live this abundant life. He wants us to live this abundant life. And if we don't live this, God can't, he can't use us. He just can't. So he says this. What if one does not put the yeast, even though the flour is the same, the bread shall never come out leavened, but unleavened. Okay, so he's going to do this. He's saying to us, I've given you the book of heaven to read, to study, to put into practice for your family. You want your family in heaven? You want your family to have this gift? Then you become the yeast. Such is my divine will. The more than yeast that casts the divine fermentation into the human act of the creature, the human act. And the human act then becomes a divine act. So again, we're not doing a divine act. We're saying to Jesus, breathe in my breathing. Jesus breathes in our breathing. He does that divine act, not us. Jesus, walk in my walking. So you have to begin to separate yourself from the world. We've already separated ourselves from the flesh and the devil. Now you got to separate yourself from the world. Okay, that means that you can't be like everybody else. You can't. Everybody else does not want to read the volumes. Everybody else says, well, I don't need it. Jesus is saying, I have a special mission for you to begin to live a new and divine way of holiness so that everyone will be able to possess this. This new and divine way of holiness is reading, studying, and putting this into practice. It's not complaining about how they treat you. It's not complaining that, you know, you're not like the rest. It's to begin to live this life of this fermentation, this yeast. This is what God is waiting for. He says, more than yeast that casts the divine fermentation into the human act becomes a divine act. To do what God does. Jesus breathed in my breathing. We have to, with our prevenient act in the morning, we have to long to do divine, have Jesus doing divine acts in us throughout the day. Long for that. I don't want to do anything human. I don't want to breathe humanly anymore. Jesus, you breathe in my breathing. I don't want to dance ever again humanly. Jesus, dance in my dancing. I don't want to sing ever humanly again. I want you, Jesus, to sing in my singing. It's to say to God, you take control. I want you to possess me. This is the divine will. It's to know, love, and possess God. Mutual possession. God possesses us. We possess God. It's not saintly. The saints were to know, love, and to serve God. To do the will of God. Serving God as a servant. To live in the divine will is to enter into the Son of the divine will. The S-U-N of the divine will. To participate in God. And Jesus says this. So this is so amazing. And when I, God, find the germ of my divine will in the act of the soul, I, God, delight in breathing on her act. Come, divine will, breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating, dance in my dancing, sing in my singing, pray in my praying. Come, divine will, reign in me. So whatever you're doing, I mean, if you're tilling the ground, you're Jesus, tilling my tilling. If you're mowing the lawn, Jesus, mowing my mowing. If you're driving, Jesus, driving my driving. What happens is you then participate in happiness, divine happiness, because Jesus is doing it, not you any longer. And he will do it perfectly, because we can't do anything perfectly, but he can. So the more that we begin to understand that this gift that God wants us to possess is not human, it's not the fallen human nature, but it's the risen divine nature of Jesus. That's what he wants. He says, "I, why did I rise from the dead? So that you will have the risen life before you die. This risen, abundant life before you die. What does that mean? That means the glorified state. And he says, I'm waiting for the souls to do this so I can give it to them. So we haven't proven to Jesus yet that we want this gift. Because we would have the risen state at this point. And that's what God's waiting for. He wants this yesterday. He wants this to reign. And he's saying to us, when can I find those souls who will do this? I have Louisa, but I want an army of souls to do this. So, again, that goes back to us. We are different than the rest of humanity. And it's not patting ourselves on the back. Jesus says, you have to become the yeast so that everyone can possess this. So the Lord is waiting for us to accept this. And again, when I, God, find the germ of my divine will in the act of the creature, every time you blink, every time you breathe, every time your heart beats, when I find that act of the creature, I, God, delight in breathing on the act, that ruah of God, that breath of God. He wants to give his abundant life in that act. That's why he created us. And I, God, raise it so much as to render that act immense, divinely immense. Only a God can do that. And yet, he's created us so that we can be in his image and likeness, so that he can share with us his divinity. And again, every day at Holy Mass, the priest puts a drop of water in the chalice and he says, may we share in the divinity of Christ. This is what's coming. It's a new and divine way of holiness. This is not anything that the saints ever could have imagined, because they didn't have Jesus teaching them through Louisa. We do. We have Jesus teaching us every single day. As you read the calendar, Jesus is teaching us every single day. It's not just words. It's not just paragraphs. He's teaching us. Everything that God says is divine. Immense. That word that he speaks, as Jesus speaking that word, is infinite. It will never end. I mean, what our God is asking us to do is to begin to participate in this life, this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary that Louisa possesses. So he says he wants us to understand this is not by chance what he's doing. When I, God, find the germ of my divine will in the act of the soul, I, God, delight in breathing on her act, the Ruah of God, the breath of God, and I raise the act so much as to render it immense, divinely immense. More so, since we, triune God, can call that act our divine act, our divine will operating in the soul. This is not human. This is not saintly. This is not good. This is not the fallen human nature. This is not a saintly thing to do. This is not a good thing to do. This is not a holy thing to do. This is a divine thing to do. And we got to get that in our little pea brains, that once we understand what Jesus is saying to us, and once we don't want to lose a moment, we want to be focused on this gift, the sooner the kingdom is going to come. The sooner it's going to be, he says, it'll happen as if by magic. He says this in volume 24. It'll happen as if by magic. All of a sudden the kingdom will be here. And everyone will say, how did this happen? How did this happen? And Jesus said, it will happen because of Louisa and the soul's link to Louisa. That's us. We've been called to have a different mission than the rest. And it's not saying that we're better. This is what God chose. He chose us to read. He chose us to study. He chose us to put this into practice. The world is, as Our Lady said to Bruno, and now it's 73 years ago, the world, the time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of the Lucifer's reign. His time is over. The kingdom is coming. And so he's asking us, he's pleading with us to begin to live this abundant life. It's not the people that were before us. It's not the people that are after us. That's the yeast. We are called to be the yeast. We are called by God to do this. And until, or as soon as we do this, God will use it very quickly. As soon as we begin to understand what God is calling us to, it will happen. And how glorious this is going to be for not only what God is doing, but what God is going to give to all of mankind. It's very important that we read. It's very important that we study. It's very important that we put this into practice. So when you're reading, how are you reading? How are you focused on the writings each day? How are you letting Jesus teach you? Okay, are you alone with Jesus? Are you letting Jesus explain this to you? And again, you're not going to get it the first time. I was just listening to somebody today who said they're reading, and he said, it's very hard. This is very hard to understand. And I said, no, it's for children. The divine will is for children. It's a different language. That's what might be difficult. You have to learn this language. I mean, who in all the saints ever talked about doing a divine act? Who in all the saints ever talked about living in God's divine will? Nobody. Louisa is the first. And I know some people said, well, other people talked about it. No, they really didn't. They might have hinted at it, but the only one that taught Louisa is Jesus. Mary taught Louisa. Jesus taught Louisa. And when we learn from Louisa, we begin to live this life. You can't find it anywhere. And that's why some people don't want Louisa. They go, well, I haven't read this anywhere, so I don't want it. God goes, fine. This is how God set it up, and he's asking us, he's pleading with us to allow God to teach us through this newborn, Luisa Picaretta. So how much our Lord loves us. So just look at this one more time. When Jesus says, more than yeast that casts the divine permutation into the human act becomes a divine act. No saint ever said that. No saint could ever say that. Luisa can say it because Jesus taught her. And now Jesus is saying to us, do you want to possess what I gave to Luisa? And when we say yes, then he says, begin to live this. We have to understand, as the saints, as when you read Acts, the book of Acts, it was the apostles and the presbyters began to live this new way. It wasn't Passover once a year. It was Passover every day. Jesus was the Lamb. Jesus was the sacrifice. This is the Lamb of God, the church has said. What's really amazing about all of this is they live this fully. They've said, basically, I have to live this life. Jesus is waiting for us to say, I believe this so much, I have to live this new way that Jesus taught Luisa. And what is that new way? It's to be peaceful, joyful, and happy. What is that new way? It's to begin to do our acts and our rounds in the divine will. One with Jesus. Fused with Jesus. Fused with the Holy Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Linking ourselves to our Blessed Mother through little Luisa. Linking ourselves to the Holy Trinity through little Luisa. I mean, we have to begin to say to God, I believe this. And I want this. And God says, good. Prove it. Prove it. You say you want it, prove it. So he's waiting for us to embrace this. He's waiting for us to say to him with our whole heart, mind, and soul, I want to live this new and divine way of holiness that Pope St. John Paul II talked about. I want to live this new and divine way of holiness. And again, it's not by chance that he said this on the canonization of St. Annibal de Francia. St. Annibal de Francia is the one, Jesus said, that will give this book to the world. It's his job. And it's not by chance that anything is happening with us receiving this gift. Jesus is saying, would you be willing to be different? Would you be willing to be the yeast? Would you be willing to give this to your family, your friends, by living this? Living this life, and again, that will help them be leavened. They will be filled with this Ruah of God, this breath of God, and all that we think, say, and do. God's got this planned. He needs us to cooperate. This year, 2020, is an important year to see clearly what Jesus wants us to do, to live this life the life that Jesus wants us to live. This is the universal life. This is the Catholic life. And we can see in the church, there's some very difficult things that are coming. But Jesus says, this is the solution. To begin to live, not just receiving Jesus in Holy Eucharist, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist, but the first bread, the bread of the divine will. It's a perennial communion with God. To walk and talk with God in the cool of the evening as Adam did. To walk and talk with God as Jesus did. As Mary did. And how they taught Luisa. This is what God is waiting for. And he's given it to us. Why? I don't know why. But he's given it to us. And he said, will you do this so that the world will have it? What a great and glorious thing this is. Your family will have it, your friends will have it, your neighbors will have it, your coworkers will have it. As we begin to live it, they will receive it. They will become peaceful, joyful, and happy. It's the divine will in the midst of creatures, in the midst of your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners. This is what God has planned from the beginning of time, and he's waiting for us to accomplish this. So I'll end there in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.